very much. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26. I was reading my Bible the other day. I do that once in a while. And I came over this passage that said, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things sayings, he said unto his disciples. Let's stand and read it tonight. Matthew chapter 26, beginning verse 1. Jesus had just, if you have a Bible that's marked in red with all the sayings of Jesus, you'll find it from chapter 23 on. It's all his sayings. And goes to 26. And a lot of things he's talking about. He's talking about the end times. He's talking about coming as Son of Man. He's talking about that knows God the day and the hour. God knows the day and hour. No man can say that they know what time Jesus Christ is coming back. When you hear somebody tell you, they say, well, Jesus is coming back in 2000. You remember that? What was his name? Harold Camping. Hey, you ought to know better than that. He calls himself a Bible scholar. Jesus said that no man, the Son of Man doesn't even know when he's coming back. Only the Father. So be careful, be careful, be very careful what you hook into and what you listen to people. Read your Bible. Be students of the Bible. Be the man of the book, lady of the book. Know what the Bible says. If there's a question about it, get at it. Amen. Read it. Amen. So anyway, he talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. He talks about the separation of sheep and the goats. And then he comes to chapter 26 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then they assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety. Now, wait a minute. This really gets in my craw. My mom used to say, boy, I'm getting your craw. You know what a craw is, don't you? How many know what a craw is? That's that thing that the birds have in there that digest their food without teeth. And they put stones in it, and it'd be a bad thing if you get something bad in your craw, amen? But it says this. Now, remember now, we are talking about the religious people, right? What are they doing with subtlety? Why are they doing this? You know, hey, if you're born again, you want to look at things heavenly, not earthly. You want to look at things that are truth, not false. You want to think of truth, not lies. And here these people call themselves religious. No wonder the Roman government went crazy over these people. And it said, and they consulted that they might, they were talking back and forth, take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Well, that sounds really spiritual to me, amen? Well, let's have a prayer meeting tonight and come in and kill somebody, amen? But they said not at the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So now what are they doing? They're conniving. They're making sure that they're gonna do it without getting in too much trouble. And when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples, now remember now, we just dealt with the subtlety of the religious people. Now get this. These are people that are next to Christ. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. For the longest time, I thought it was Judas that had indignation. No, it was all disciples. Saying, to what purpose is this waste? Who did she anoint? She anointed God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. There's always people looking after the money. You know what? When I got married, I had a loan. I've been married almost 47 years, still got a loan. You know, you're always going to have money problems. How many have ever never had money problems? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to talk to you. I'd like you to be my counselor on that. Amen? How many have had problems all your life with money? It looks like everybody's in agreement on this thing. Oh, if we just have a little bit more money. And there it was. The ointment might have been sold for so much and given to the poor. And Jesus understood it. Nothing got by Jesus, amen. You remember now, he is the omnipresent, omniscient God. And said unto them, why trouble ye this the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. You know what? We just did it again. We just did what God said. We're talking about this woman. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I want to talk to you. He finished all his sayings. And I won't keep you long, I promise you, tonight. But I hope this will be a blessing to you. I think sometimes that we forget. We were talking, I don't know who, somebody I was talking about doing random, I'll think of it. Don't turn that on, brother. It's freezing in here. Thank you. I got some people here that are getting in their Eskimo coop right now. Random niceness. Random. Act of random kindness. Amen. And this lady did an act of random kindness. I want you to do that. I want you to be a church of random acts of kindness. I've got some great illustrations tonight. I hope I'll help you a little bit. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you just help us to serve you in a great way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that he's going away. I'm going to go away. And I'm going away. I'm going to be betrayed. He told his disciples in verse 10, leave the woman alone. He told his disciples that you'll always have the poor with you. That's true. Many of you can raise your hand tonight about that. Amen. Always have the poor with you, anybody. He told his disciples that you will always have the poor. Verse 11, he told the disciples that he would be going away and that they could not be able to show their love to him. But there's always the poor to show their love to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches us that when we help the poor, we're actually an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, you're always helping the poor. Hey, that's what we're supposed to do. Aren't you glad you can help and you're not the guy who has to receive it? Yep. I'd rather be giving it than taking it. And the Bible says that you're happy when you're giving it. Amen. It's better to give than receive. Yeah, we got a lot of poor people. I hear all the time, there's always somebody needs something. And according to my Bible, the Bible says if you have it, you should give it. It is not the responsibility, now get this now, it is not the responsibility of the poor person coming up to you and saying, God told me to give you that. Give me that. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says that the rich man sees those that are poor and he comes and gives them that. Not that the poor people come to you and say, you got to give me this. We got that turned around in America. It is my responsibility as a born-again Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a disciple, one who is willing to be taught, to make sure that my heart and my eyes and my ears are always open to those that are in need. Heck, man! That's my responsibility. It is not the responsibility of you who are poor to say, hey, preacher, you got to give me that because you have that. No, you're out of line. You're out of line in there. You're out of line. I want to make sure that you as Christians understand that it is our responsibility. What did Peter and Paul say? Peter and John, in the temple, when they first came into the temple, and they saw this man, and he was a beggar, and he said, hey, silver and gold have we none. Huh?
Peter and John.
Hey, silver and gold we have we none. Well, what we have, talking about Jesus, amen. Some things, so if you ask me tonight, if I can help you, I would say, I gave it all. One man said, hey, preacher, what about... I said, I'm sorry, I gave it all to church. I unload all my money out of my pockets to church on Sunday or Wednesday night. And then I pray like crazy that God will help me tomorrow, amen. That keeps me going faith, amen. He told his disciples that he said, I'm going away. I'm not going to be here. There's no way that you can give me anything. Except you always have your poor. And you can always help them. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said even if you give a cup of cold water, give it in the name of Jesus Christ. You are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You are Christ. You've heard me tell the story. I want to tell it again because it illustrates so perfectly. Two men were running out of this railroad car, and they're running next place. And this is during very, very poor times of America back in the 30s in the Dust Bowl. And they're running, going to their next stop. And one of the guys ran into this kid that had these pencils. He was selling pencils. And the guy knocked those pencils out of that box, and they're all over the... Oh, what do you call the train station floor? Platform. Put it all over the platform. And this guy bent down and started picking them up and put them in his box. And the guy yelled back. And he said, Jesus Christ, we're going to be late. And that little boy looked up at him. He had been slapped around and beat so many times. He said, are you really him? Are you really him? And tears started streaming down that little boy's face. He said, no, son, I'm not, but I'm one of his boys. Huh? I'm one of his boys. I'm one of his boys. You're 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 one of his girls. And we're supposed to act like that. We're supposed to be ones who pick up the pencils. And that guy, by the way, put in some extra dollars. That was huge back in those days. You buy a hamburger for 5 cents back in those days. Acts of random kindness. Jesus said, hey, leave her alone. This is her time for me. There's going to be a time that I'm not going to be here and she can't do that anymore. Oh, you're going to spend all that money. I'm going to do it. No, I'm supposed to take care of it. By the way, who said something to me today? Somebody said something to me today. And I said, you know what? Oh, I know, it was Sunday school. I said, you know what? I still eat. I'm talking about how that sometimes we people are in great need and they need some help. A lady came to me. And she says, Pastor, I've got to have $400. Or if you heard me say it, there's some of you haven't, I'm going to reply it. And she said, I need $400 and I got to get it so I can get my teeth fixed. How many have ever had a bad tooth and it really hurts you bad? And It'd be a terrible thing. You can't get help. And my wife and I, we don't carry that kind of money around us. But I wrote a check out for her, and I said, here, $400. And in faith, I helped that poor person. A week later, I saw her three boys on brand new bicycles. And with my great computer-like brain, I'm thinking, you couldn't get your teeth done because you needed $400, but you got your boys all brand new bicycles. And you made a mistake and told me that you just went down and bought these bicycles. That was the greatest lesson for me. Because I had to go back to this Bible and figure out how I'm going to work with this thing in my heart. Everything ever happened like that? And you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to think about this. And I got to that portion of Scripture right there. You'll always have your poor. And I got to the thought, you know what? I gave out of a pure heart. My motive was pure. My motive was to help this young family. And once I turned loose and gave that to them, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 that God is not unrighteous, that He will not forget your labor of love. And I had to say, you know what? God, You're the judge. And I had to do that old saying I say once in a while, leave alone, Dwayne. Huh? I had to leave it alone. And I had to say, God, hey, that woman came to me and said, I have to have, with tears in her eyes, God, I have, preacher, then 2 weeks later, I see these brand new bikes. I'm going like, yeah, does not compute. I'm angry. I'm mad. That's not fair. I could have bought something for my kids. I could have paid a bill. I could have done a little bit, right? Don't tell me that does not happen in your heart and your life. But what you have to do is you give it to God. I didn't give it to them. I gave it to God. And God will judge that, but He also take care of me. He will not forget my labor of love. And you know what? I told Jason this morning, I said, I haven't missed any theirs. In fact, I've bought a couple guns since then. Don't ever pattern your life because of what people do. You pattern your life what God tells you to do. And you do what God tells you to do. And if somebody screws up with it, you know what? Ain't my circus and ain't my monkey, ain't my circus. I guess that's what you can say. It's God's job to take care of that. So in our random act of kindness, and the things that we come up and do, hey, that's a God thing. God thing says, we remember the poor. God thing says, I take care of business that God has put me into. The path I cross, I cross a lot of people's paths. I tell the Lord a lot of times, I say, dear Lord, I'm not stingy. And You know that, Lord. If I have some candy, and I got other kids around me, I share it. The problem is, some of the kids don't come around when I got it. And I said, Lord, I just want to stay around You because when You get it, You share. And when people around me and I got something, I'll share. That's just the way it is. Don't pick people out and say, well, you know, this is your inheritance. No, this is just that you're around me. If I got somebody's around me and says, man, preacher, you got an extra of that book. Somebody said that to me the other day. I had a book. And I said, yeah, I got an extra one here. Act of random kindness. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be thinking about that. He told the disciples that the woman that was pouring on the precious ointment was for His burial. It is so important to show your love around those before they die. Oh, I wish I just called my dad. I wish I just called my mom before they passed. Oh, and that'll eat you apart. Do it now. Get in your car, go see them. Spend some time with them. Because one of these days, they'll be gone. And you won't have them. And you can't show your love to them. You cannot express your love and devotion after they're gone. Number six, he told his disciples that she is going to get the glory for her act of random. She's going to, for her unselfish act, she is going to get blessing. And not only that, he said, he told the disciples, this is my seventh point, that all the world is going to know about this. How do you know what you do that people are not going to remember? Speak to their heart. God is conscious of everything. He will not forget our time of service. God never forgets our acts of kindness. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. I worked so hard over there cleaning up the dishes, and so hard doing this, and cleaning the church, and stuff, and nobody appreciated it. Hey, you know what? You didn't do it for them. You did it for Jesus Christ. Shame on you. Well, I played the piano, I played the organ, people just don't appreciate it. Well, it's not about you. I drive the bus. I get up early in the morning. I put the gas in. I'm fueling. I work the nursery. We have three insane asylums behind us. If you ain't crazy, go work there for a time. And you're always praying, oh, God, help him get done preaching. Give that invitation. Amen. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Get this now. You ought to write this on the back of your Bible, because someday you're going to be ticked off at some idiot, ticked off at somebody that's going to go buy bicycles instead of pay for the dental insurance, pay for the dental work. You're going to be upset. Leave it alone. Forget your work. God said, I will not be unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I love that person. Boy, did it break my heart when I saw it. I said, good night. Let's be more careful with that money that I give you. Not my job. I gave some money to a person a while back, $100. I heard they're drinking. My first thought was, I'd like to jack slap them to tomorrow. I'm against it. In fact, Proverbs chapter 20 is against any kind of drinking. Read it. Don't be stupid. Read the Bible. Don't be ignorant. That's what he said. Don't be ignorant. Paul said, don't be ignorant of these things. Don't be ignorant of the Bible. That means don't be stupid. Ignorant. Foolish. But you know what? I have to go back and leave alone Dwayne. I have to go back and say, you know, there's some things that I did stupid when I was growing up. Hey, hey, hey! And there's some things that probably not very good idea as a Christian to do. And I must forgive them. Because God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. See, all this stuff works together as a Christian. All these things work together. They work together for good. God's working on us and helping us to be doing these random acts of kindness. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Years ago, Despite his very busy schedule during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln visited a hospital to cheer the wounded. On one occasion, he saw a young fellow near to death. "Is there anything I can do for you, son?" asked the compassionate president. "Please write a letter to my mother." He did not recognize that he was speaking to the chief executive, who had sat down and wrote his mother a letter. And he said, "This is what I wrote your mama. My dearest mother, I am badly hurt while doing my duty, and I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The young man was too weak to go on, so Lincoln signed the letter and added this postscript, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." Asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover that he had shown him such kindness. "Are you really the president?" he asked. "Yes," was a quiet reply. "Now, is there anything else I can do for you?" the lad feebly replied. "Will you please hold my hand? I think it would help to see me through the end." The tall, gaunt man granted his request, offering warm words of encouragement until death stole the body of this young man. The president ran him back to Congress, right? Of kindness. Mimi Adams went to a branch post office in her town because the postal employees were so friendly there. She went there to buy stamps just before Christmas one year, and the lines were particularly long. Someone pointed out to her that she did not have to wait in line. There was a stamp machine in the lobby. "I know," she said, "but the machines don't ask me about my arthritis." You have no idea what people are doing. I heard a story a while back. The man came through and he bought some chewing gum, and a little later he came through and bought a head of cabbage, and a little later he bought a bunch of bananas. A little later he came, and finally the clerk says, "Ma'am, why don't you just get a grocery cart?" He said, "I'm lonely, and I need more than one purchase to talk to you." Wow, what are we out here for? Who are we? Hey, would you look inside yourself? Who are you? I read this and said, every employee deserves to know they are unique and valuable to their boss. That is the message of Tim Sander, leadership coach of the Chief Solutions Officer at Yahoo, who urged managers and supervisors to let their subordinates know that they are appreciated. So Steve, one of the men that were being taught, resolved to visit each of his employees, and all six of whom had not seen his face for 6 months, even though they worked in the same building on the same floor. Steve wanted to tell each one of them how much he appreciated and tell them how excellent they were doing. After a visit from Steve, one of his software engineers, Lanny, presented him with an Xbox gaming console. Steve was taken back as he knew that Lanny had just had some pay cuts that year. But he was more surprised when he learned that he had sold his 9mm pistol, a pistol that Lanny had bought months early with the intention to kill himself. Lanny told of his mother's death previous year and the ensuing loneliness and depression. "I started a routine every night," Lanny said. "I'd eat a bowl of ramen, listening to Nirvana," that'd drive anybody crazy anyway, "and getting a gun out. And almost a month to get the courage just to put the bullets in the gun. I took another couple months to get used to the feeling of the barrel in the top of my teeth. For the last week, I was putting even the sight pressure on the trigger and getting so close, Steve. So close. Steve, so close. Last week, you freaked me out, Lenny said. You came to my cubicle, you put your arm around me and told me that you appreciated me because I had turned up all the my projects early and that helped you sleep at night. You also said that I had a great sense of humor over email, and I was glad I came into your life. The night I went home, ate my ramen, listened to Nirvana, I should do that. And when I got the gun out, it scared me silly for the first time. All I could think was what you said, that you were glad I came into your life. The next day I went to the pawn shop, sold my gun. I remember that you said you wanted an Xbox more than anything. But with a new baby in your home, you couldn't afford it. So for my life, I give you my Xbox. Thanks, boss. Just a word. I was reading the other day. I was reading. There's a thing on Facebook that tells about teenage suicides. I forget how many thousands of kids take their life because someone was mean to them or said something mean on that stinking Facebook. Or somebody texts them. One girl took her life because somebody says, "You got a cute smile, but you're fat." She went home and killed herself. Just maybe someone needs some loving that you know outside of here, or maybe inside here. Get you through one more day. This is what Sanders wrote. Sometimes people just need people. They need encouragement. You have no idea how lonely and sad some people might be. Love them everywhere, not just at home, but work and wherever you find them. I want to challenge our church that we would make sure that we do some random acts of kindness. It's a God thing. This is not of the world. I hear the world talks about it. I hear my sheriff talking about, "Hey, do something random act of kindness this week," you know. I was reading a place where a guy came into the coffee shop, and he had been broke for a long time, and finally he did pretty good. And he walked in and said, "I want a large coffee." And lady gave him a large coffee. He said, "Now, here is enough money to buy the next 500 customers a large coffee." And he walked out. Another man won and he won $2 million. He lost his wife the year before. He went down to cancer research and signed the check over and says, "Here's your $2 million. You helped some people. I missed my wife. Maybe this will help out." Some guy was driving through McDonald's and said, "I want to pay for the person's meal behind me." And the guy was so tickled. And he said, "Man," the guy behind him said, "Hey, that's cool." He says, "That made me feel good." He says, "I wonder what the car behind me would feel if I did that." And I guess that went on for almost all day. Just because one person did an act of random kindness. Hey. Do you know there's a lot of people hurting out there? Everybody's having a bad day. Everybody's going in having problems and heartaches and sorrows. Everybody is running against a brick wall. There's always something going on in our lives. Wouldn't it be nice if you just made somebody smile and hear somebody say, "You know, you made my day." My wife and I were traveling we flew into Minneapolis. We had a problem with the flight. The flight could not get out. They had a mechanical flight on the plane out of Detroit that was flying over to Minneapolis back to Detroit. I'll be honest with you. I am glad they don't fly a plane that has a mechanical difficulty. I'm glad. I'm just okay. I don't yell and scream. We got there, and they weren't going to be able to get us, and Marcia was very tired. And I walked up to the person. I says, She said, "What's going on?" I said, "We got." She says, "Let me see something." It wasn't 2 minutes, and this lady came up and said, "Their gentleman came up, very, very. You could tell he was really sharp dressed, and he had a red tie, which is Delta, and he had a red vest on. You get a red vest; those are the people you want to get. Red, we call them red coats. You see a red coat, and you got a problem. You say, "Hey, I need some help," and they'll help you. They'll do everything they can for you." And he says, "Sheldon?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I hear you missed your plane." I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "How would you like to ride in a taxi, which is only 2 hours, and get home by 5 o'clock instead of 9:30, 10 o'clock? And I says, he said, "You take this down to the taxi, and this is the name of the taxi, and they'll take you right. They'll take you to the next airport." Guess what that made me feel like? And this guy said, "Do you want to stop? Can we get you somebody?" I said, "No, I just want to get home," because his name was Abdu something. I took pictures of this guy and put it on my phone. So I sent him my sister. I said, "This is what he is." And I took a picture of his badge. But anyway, Detroit full of Muslims. And I said, "You Muslim?" "Yeah, I'm Muslim." I said, "What kind are you?" He laughed. Come find out he was a lawyer in Iraq. And he had to flee Iraq, came to America. It was pretty funny. "Well, what kind of Muslim are you?" I said, "I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And if I die, I'm going to heaven." Got that? Without the 70 virgins. But anyway, let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you for listening. Do something kind to somebody. Look out for somebody. See if you can just make their day. Would you do that? Would you do that? If you're here tonight, you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you invite Him to be your Savior. If you're here tonight and your life is just in troubles and shackles, hey, grab a hold of one of us and say, "Hey, can I talk to you?" That's what we're here for, right? That little girl, Stan, sang here today. That song that she sang was not just a song. It was her life. And she's been through a lot of deep water. We want to keep you going, girl. Why don't you get to singing more? Amen. Amen. There's people here that have been out of work and been out of jobs. These people need some help. Marcia, I'm going to pray. Okay. Dear Lord, bless this time. Speak to our hearts. Help us to live for you. And Lord, help us to look ways. Keep our ears open, our eyes open to things that maybe we can help. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.